Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Chiefs Kingdom, you gotta fight for your right.
And now, from the IMLD home studios, in its 11th season, you are listening to, in much less detail, the podcast, where we cut through the noise and give you your NFL breakdown in much less detail. Now your hosts, Jay and Bray.
Playoffs?
Yeah. Playoffs roll on tomorrow. We are back. The playoffs are back. Hope you enjoyed the playoffs last week. The playoffs get started again tomorrow with the divisional round, the conference semifinals. And we are here to tell you all about that. But first, we're going to give out the awards and tell you all about the good and the bad of wild card weekend, super mega wild card weekend, yay sports in the NFL. This is indeed, in much less detail, the podcast here with you live on a Friday night, January 19th, 2024, wherever you are hunkered down, hopefully you're staying warm and avoiding these icy streets, which is what we have down here in Memphis where I live. I'm Dre. He's Jay. He's in Wisconsin where they're used to snow and ice. Jay, did I get you connected in time? You were trying to get on right at the last second. Are you there? Oh, shit. That's what I was afraid of. Anytime you... I click you through right at the last second. It doesn't seem to work out. Yeah. So Jay's going to go back out and try to come back in, and hopefully that'll work. Get into that nice big long wind up and introduction, and he's not there.
Well, the good news is I heard it. I heard your introduction.
We just couldn't hear your response.
Right. Which didn't last very long, because as soon as I started talking, you're like, oh, shit, here we go again. So, but we know this, that when either one of us log in late to the show, not late after the show, but like in that last minute before the show starts, that there's going to be problems. So that's just, you know, that's a feature, not a bug, apparently.
Even the last minute is okay, but it still was the last 5 seconds when the British lady starts counting down, and it's right when I clicked the button. I'm like, uh-oh, this is
when I got in, it said that there was 20-something seconds left, and then I heard you click me in as soon as the intro started. So I was like, oh, we'll see how this goes.
I was trying to get there before she started, but it
didn't
work.
I'm here. I'm ready to go. It is. Yeah. It's cold. You think it's cold there. It's been it's been really cold here. So we have been sub-zero for most of the last week.
Oof.
But not sub-zero enough that they, you know, canceled school or any of that stuff. But, yeah, we had some it was Monday, because Monday kids were out of school for MLK Day. That was the coldest day. That was probably the day, if there was school cancellations, that they would have happened, because we were, you know, like 30, 35 below wind chills on Monday.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. We're excited.
It just hurts to hear that.
Because by Monday, we're actually supposed to be, you know, in the 30s again. So it's going to be T-shirt weather up here.
Right. It's tropical.
In the tundra.
T-shirts.
Yeah. So, yeah, thank God for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Good job, guys. Salvaged what was going to turn out to be an absolutely atrocious week for me, dropping all three of my games to you. But fortunately, my lack of faith in the Eagles was proven correct.
After you should be applauding.
Thank you, Eagles. Thanks.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Thanking the Eagles for continuing to suck.
And for the first time in what feels like 3 months, you get to go first.
Wow, that's true. I didn't even think of that. Yes, I actually won a week from you. That's
it's been a while.
It really has.
It wasn't that I was beating you every week. It was just I'd beat you, and then we'd go push, push, push.
Right.
And then I'd beat you, and then I'd go, then we
another push. And,
yeah.
No, so, we did not split it down the middle. I took 2 of 3 from you.
Yeah.
I was greedy. I was looking for the sweep Monday night, but oh boy, it was not meant to be. Yet another example, folks. If you're out there and you're investing in these games and you have the ability to see a team completely look from the opening whistle like they don't belong there, they don't want to be there. And again, I didn't listen to my own advice, but man, if I was aware and thinking about it, I would have live bet the Buccaneers to hell and back, because the Eagles from jump did not look like they wanted any part of that football game, any part of the Buccaneers. When you're giving up huge chunk runs repeatedly to that team, the worst running team in the league, that team, that's when you know you have no chance. No chance.
I have a feeling we'll be handing some hardware somewhere here to some of the things that may have happened in that game.
This is indeed the football party, 2 hours live talking football, talking about wild card weekend and getting you ready for the divisional round. You know how we do it by now. First, we have to go back and give out the awards and talk about what happened, the best and the worst of wild card weekend. And I'll be the one leading it all. That's not something I'm used to doing.
I caught you by surprise.
I'm so frozen down here in Memphis. We don't deal with the cold at all down here very well. So,
no, you're made for the heat. That's what Dusty said anyways.
Exactly. We'll get to all that in a second. But first, Lou in Jersey, what's going on?
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll say one thing. The wild card round wasn't really that wild, except for maybe one game. And, of course, we know that. Of course, you know which kind of thing.
Go, Cowboys, go.
Nope.
Man, that was the wildest to me.
Rams wild. That was a wild game. At least it was the more competitive game of the week. I mean,
it was definitely the closest game of the weekend.
Right.
Yeah. Everything else was just so one sided.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Even the upset was one sided.
Yeah. Pretty much. You know. I mean, I thought people were about to play to see more competitive football, and for the majority of the week, we really didn't see it.
Let's see, you were talking about the Peacock game, and you didn't miss much.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Did you get out and try to find someone who had Peacock to watch that, or you just didn't bother?
Actually, I found another way to do it.
Ah, you found a way to watch in another way. Okay.
Yes, I did.
That's completely understandable. You know, as someone who is a pro wrestling fan, man, I don't pay for pay-per-view. I haven't paid for pay-per-view in years. I don't ever pay for any of those events. So I completely understand, Lou. If you can find alternative ways to watch stuff, that's the thing. That anyone who wants to complain about the streaming, look, there are ways to watch anything that you want that's streaming, that's pay-per-view, whatever. There are ways to do it if you really want to do it. You don't have to pay for anything.
You can find a torrent out of China or something. and I'm not joking. It's how you do it.
Oh, I'm well aware of it. Thank God for the Netherlands.
Yeah. Well, I don't go that far. But I found
I'm just saying, there's ways.
And luckily I was able to catch it.
Okay. But you didn't miss much. If you didn't catch it, it wouldn't have mattered.
No,
you really didn't miss anything. But no, it wasn't a wild weekend, but it was an eye-opening weekend. There were a lot of things that happened that made you go, okay, I see what's going on with some of these teams.
Yeah,
now,
but who would expect the two top teams in the NFC East to go, crashing down? I mean, Dallas and the Eagles. Who would have thought they would have lost the Bucks?
Jay had that one.
I had the Bucks in that one. The Eagles had been showing us who they were for most of the last 2 months. So I had a feeling that the Bucks would be able to move the ball. And even the, broken down rust bucket corpse that is Baker Mayfield falling apart at the seams was able to shred that defense. I mean, we alluded to it briefly as you were Dre was talking about the runs that the Eagles were giving up. It wasn't the runs they were giving up. It was the 8 broken tackles on the way to that run.
Yeah,
and that
that
was some some hashtag full of quit from the Eagles.
Yeah.
And they just Dre said they wanted nothing to do with the Bucs, and they even got stopped on a tush push. That's how bad they were on that.
Oh yeah, the old tush push.
I had the Bucs as were the Bucs the favorite in that one, Dre?
No,
I had
a terrible play that the Eagles put forth in the end of the season. They were still the favorite over the Buccaneers.
I wasn't buying that at all. Now Dre, on the other hand, was all over Green Bay.
I called that
so
2 weeks ago.
You did. You did. We actually were both talking about that. I was just so wrapped up in, the Cowboys are a different animal at home. But, yeah, you saw, the Packers were playing with house money. Just looked like a completely that sometimes you get that team that just gets hot late, and they can be the most dangerous team. And the Packers got hot late.
Yeah.
And you know what the Cowboys said when they saw the first touchdown for Green Bay? Ah, here we go.
Yep.
They knew. Here we go again. Same old Cowboys.
And then the second touchdown, the third touchdown.
Here we go.
The pick six.
That was funny. That was the sealer, and that was laugh. At that point, the game turned into a complete Dak time, which I texted you that.
Oh yes, I did not give an award to Dak for that, but if there was ever that was the quintessential Dak time game, because when you look at the stats on the page, you're like, Dak balled out. Dak threw 400 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Whoa, Dak, he's the man, and you realize that all of it was meaningless garbage time. Packers,
all of it.
Like, you visibly watched the Packers change to the prevent defense and just keep everything in front, let them run the clock. Started to get a little sweaty at the end. I mean, to the point where they had to bring Love back in after they had.
But that's because it was Dak time.
But yeah, Dak time.
That's
the
only reason.
We love Dak time.
Yeah, Lou, we've been saying this for years, that anytime the Cowboys start getting blowed out, that's when Dak Prescott really turns it on, because at that point, it doesn't matter anymore. That's when he plays his best, when the game is out of control and he can rack up all these meaningless yards. So that's why we call it Dak time. And that entire game, the entire second half of that game was Dak time, because the Packers weren't even trying anymore.
No, we were texting each other during the game, completely calling it. You know, I was like, I've got him where he wants him. You know, now it's all Dak time from here on out.
Yeah. That's what they do. That's the Cowboys. That's why I think they get them. I just wish I would have slammed them on the money line, because that was the best bet of the weekend, as it turned out.
That would have been. And the Cowboys decided to keep Mike McCarthy after all of that.
Why?
They love their regular season wins, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but when it comes to the playoff time, choke city.
That's the Cowboys. That's why I think they are. All right, what do you think's coming up this weekend for divisional round, Boom?
Well, I don't think the Packers are going to have much luck against the 49ers. I really see that this is going to be the end for Jordan Love this season. I have a sleeper pick, and I do think that the Lions are going to continue. I think that they have shown a lot this year why they've won the division. They have done remarkably well. I mean, their best season is since the dinosaur era ended. So I think we're gonna see that. I do see Buffalo winning this week against KC, even though despite the fact that the injury list is piling up. But I'm still thinking that they're gonna continue. So I guess there'd be some surprises and some there won't be, if you catch my drift. We'll just have to wait and see what happens for this weekend. Down to the final 8. And next week is, of course, the final 4. The final goes in the Super Bowl. This is what it's all about, guys. This is the time of year that, we really get this going. And I just hope that, we'll see better games this week than we did last week. Because last week was, a big disappointment.
It'd be harder to get more blowouts than last week, that's for sure. But I think there'll be tighter games this week than last week, for sure.
You would think so.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't expecting it. I do see the Ravens being Houston. Let's put it this way. Houston, you're going to have a problem.
I see what you did there.
I hate to do cliches, but I thought it was fitting in this case.
There you go.
You don't have a problem. You'll be the problem. Ooh.
Ah. All right.
I know, that was
fun.
And I'll discuss on my show tomorrow. For those of you who don't know, I do run a show on Saturdays. You're located where again?
We're in the Midwest.
We're in the Central Time Zone.
Okay, so in that case for you, it's 3 to 5. I think you did try to call last week, but you didn't get through for some odd reason. Your phone didn't connect. So it's 3 to 5 in the Central Time Zone. 4 to 6 where I am in the East. We'll cover, of course, the NFL divisional playoffs. We'll also cover a recap from last week. We got some NBA and NHL news as those seasons are heating up. Got some interesting hot stove news in the world of baseball. And we do cover some WWE and UFC news at the time because we have a few experts on that who will give their opinion. And occasionally we cover tennis and golf when they have the majors. And the Australian Open is going on right now, so I might touch on that because I have a few tennis fans in the crowd as well. So if you got time between 3 and 5 your time tomorrow, 4 or 6 for me, the number is 512-543-4662, and the name of the show is called The Enhanced Sports Show.
There you have it, the well-rounded show. Lou, thanks. Enjoy your football.
You too.
All right.
Dre, I just got to know, was that you who tried to call?
I did not.
It wasn't me.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure.
No,
I didn't know if you were moonlighting.
I just missed out. I would have thought to call. I just forgot about the show. It slipped my mind. So,
I just have to say, I don't want to give any programming tips. That's right in the middle of the game tomorrow.
I was just about to ask you, isn't that during the games last week and this week? Yeah, okay. So, no, that definitely was not me then calling during the games. I was busy actually watching
Houston, Baltimore, 3:30 p.m. Yes, that's smack dab right in the middle of Texans-Ravens tomorrow.
We will not be available for that.
I'll be at work. Probably still watching the game, though.
We're going to miss out on Lou's Australian Open thoughts. That's such a
bummer.
I want
to know what women's sports they were going to hit on this week.
We can only guess.
Who do you think you are? I am.
I get to lead off after all that for the best and the worst and all of that good stuff of Wild Card Weekend. What could possibly be better? What could have been the best for Wild Card Weekend? Isn't it the best thing for all football fans than watching the Cowboys shit all over themselves? Isn't that just the best? How could that not be the best for every fan of football? Isn't that just the most joyful outcome you could possibly come up with? And in this case, it's also the best because it was a showcase for a new generation, the youngest wide receiver core in the league, the first-year starting quarterback. I said they wouldn't have a care in the world walking into Dallas, undefeated at home this season, Dallas, dominant at home, Dallas, and the Packers said, we don't give a damn about any of that. They just blow their doors off. Was it 48-32?
But realistically, I mean, that was 48-16 before
right.
Extreme deck time.
That we should definitely get a production staff to get sound effects for deck time when it happens because we were all over that.
Deck time.
And it started with Green Bay wanting the ball first. I think that's a key as well.
Yeah,
they won the coin flip and they didn't defer.
That.
No,
right.
you don't see that anymore at all.
Yeah.
So they wanted it first. It looked a little hairy when Aaron Jones was stuffed his first few runs, and then Jordan Love said, that's fine. Jordan Love gets turned up. Of course, Dallas penalties helped them out because that's what the Cowboys do. Jones winds up putting it in the end zone for that 7-0 lead. And like I said, at that point, it's like, oh, here we go. Here go the Cowboys, choking it up like they always do. But that's the best to me. Everyone who knows about football last week knows what happened from there. 14-0, 21-0, and then a pick six from Dak, and it's like, oh, it's over. It's completely over. So that was the best of wild card weekend to me.
Yeah, the only blemish for the Packers in that first half was my boy, Anders Carlson, missing an extra point, just like I said he would.
Right.
About the only thing I had right about that game, he did not turn out to be a factor in the game after, you know, when you're missing the extra point, when your team's about to go up 28-0, instead you're only up 27, or was it 20, you know, but he missed one. That's his sixth extra point miss of the year. So
if you
just tease
the over under to 79.5, that costs you there. So
yeah,
sorry.
Make this real simple for you. I concur.
Yeah.
I'll go more specifically to Jordan Love. I was tempted to, but I didn't repeat myself like I did with the Ravens 2 weeks in a row to give this the sort of split award for C.J. Stroud and Jordan Love. But I barely edged out Stroud on this one just because I thought Love on the road against that the storied Dallas Cowboys and the record at home, 37 points per game, that top flight defense, just their Packers, oh, they have no shot. And Jordan Love looked like a 10-year veteran taking his mm-hmm. team in there. When we think back to Jordan Love in that first start, we watched him play against the Chiefs. You know, when they zero blitzed him into oblivion, and he was a deer in the headlights and terrible throws, eating sacks left and right. Jordan Love was facing the same type of pressure. They were bringing pressure at him the whole game. Jordan Love took no sacks in that game. And against that pressure was just dropping dimes right about at the time when he was going to get hit. There were several throws that he made where dudes were in his face and he's doing the Aaron Rodgers. I hate to say Aaron Rodgers, but that Aaron, I know you, I was texting you about your Packers PTSD kicking in watching that, because that just has to be infuriating as a Bears fan to watch. And then all of that gets capped off by the most ridiculous sidearm throw to Romeo Doubs in the end zone to put the capper on it. And no joke, you go back and you watch this sidearm fling, it was like the Brett Favre-style throw, across his body through traffic. And I'm not joking. When Romeo Doubs catches the ball, freeze frame it, there are five Cowboys, five in the vicinity of Romeo Doubs, and that ball is thrown right on his right shoulder pad perfectly. Like, the ball caught him. It was thrown so perfectly. And when was the last time we saw a quarterback evolve this much in one season? From where he was at the start of the season, where he looked really good those first few games, and then kind of got lost in the wilderness for a long time. And then just all of a sudden, the second half, something snapped, in Jordan Love. And his numbers from week 11 on now through this, hanging the most points on the Cowboys in a playoff game ever. How can that not be best of the week?
I'm sure there's plenty of quarterbacks since that started out slow and got a lot better, but
in their first year starting, though.
Right. Aaron frickin' Rodgers himself didn't look very hot.
Went 6-10 his first season.
And then he turned around. He didn't turn around in the middle of that season. But when you're talking about started, like, this doesn't look good, and winds up being a Hall of Famer, this is, very, very early, but it's on that trajectory. It's almost like they've got the blood of Favre and Rodgers saved up there, and they poured it down Jordan Love's throat and sent him out there.
They're doing some Wuhan stuff here.
I'm doing some sangria. I'm doing
shit. Creating COVID virus, or we're splicing together. So the numbers
got their
DNA
in
here. Jordan Love, 16 of 21 for 272, three touchdowns, no picks. Just missed a perfect passer rating because he lost it on the last incompletion of the game, which shows you how meaningless that really is. Your favorite stat, yards per attempt, 12.95 on the day.
That's good.
It's when was the last time you saw that?
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And those Packers receivers, so wide open. That the touchdown to Musgrave, where he almost fell over, he was so wide open.
That was like Bears cover zero. Like, don't cover him. Nobody. Don't anyone go near there. Yeah. So, nobody within 20 yards of him.
Yeah. And you get the double benefit of he's doing it to the Dallas Cowboys.
Which was just
America's
team. That was the best to me.
Watching Jerry Jones losing his shit up there in the press box and throwing his stuff down in his suite. So, yeah, that just kind of made it all the sweeter. A little tougher test for them this week, but for 1 week, yes, easily. Jordan Love, Aaron Jones, that Packers no-name offense. We had the no-name defense. I think we now have the no-name offense. Give me another Pete Weber. They earned it.
They certainly are.
Who do you think you are? I am.
And just to pile on Dak a little bit and his part in the whole thing.
Because it's that's so much fun.
It is.
That goes hand in hand with your best of the week. Was just watching that.
Just watching the Cowboys shit all over them. So this is beautiful. That first INT to Jaire Alexander was ridiculous because he just stared down his target. He just looked right at whoever his target was. I don't even remember. But he just stared him right down and allowed Jaire to just make an adjustment, go
away.
Get the ball, and take it away.
Yeah. The guy who got suspended for the illegal coin toss maneuver and lost the confidence of his team, who still, by the way, is their best cornerback,
yes,
goes out there and makes – you know, and that's in their deep in their territory, barely by the, I think the receiver's foot landing on him stopped him from being a pick six.
And then Dak right to Darnell Savage for a 64-yard pick six. And at that point, like I said, I texted you and said, now the entire rest of the game, the entire second half is Dak time.
I mean, you could have seen the look on my face because it's just the – like the mouth open and then the head drop, like, I couldn't believe what I was watching when he threw that pick six. Like, because you're watching, I mean, that was ball game, right? I mean, I'm sure Wade was given the dagger right there.
And the dagger! It probably was a Ron Santo moment for all the Cowboys. So they, no!
There was a video on YouTube that was a Bears fan reacting to all the highlights of that game as he was like trying to, I think he was live streaming the game, and it was about what you'd expect.
Yeah.
He's expecting that the Cowboys are going to destroy the Packers, and he just keeps getting more and more violently upset as the Packers are destroying them. Hey, good for Green Bay. It's, you know, I live in Wisconsin. I'm not that far from Green Bay. I'm only an hour and a half away from Green Bay. Everybody around here loves the Packers. So it's been a very happy week up here. I'm sure domestic violence was way down this week.
Any Bears fans, dude, your team is at home. Don't worry about what the Packers are doing, man. At this point.
But hating the Packers is intrinsic.
I know. But it's like a White Sox fan watching the Cubs in the playoffs. Man, your team's
sitting
at the crib. Don't worry about it. Right.
You're hate watching.
Don't even worry about it at that point. The worst of the wild card weekend to me, as I look for my buzzer, not all of the teams that lost played like they were already in Cabo, but the Dolphins did, the Browns did in the second half, and the Eagles did.
Yeah.
I can't remember a weekend with more missed tackles. It was so embarrassing.
Have you ever seen so much quit in the playoffs before?
All those teams quit when the game was out of hand, all of them. The Steelers and the Fish, I get why they quit being in those in that environment, being in those conditions. They didn't want to be there in that cold. I get it. Come on, man.
They let you down. I know they let you down.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to talk about
it.
But that was the worst.
You had the sweep in hand.
But that was my worst, watching all those teams just completely get – like, they're all blowouts. All, you know, every game except for one was a blowout. But those – teams specifically, the Fish and the Steelers and the Eagles, they were packed up in Cancun already. Like, they didn't even have a clue what they were doing out there and didn't want to – they weren't even interested in playing anymore. And the Cowboys.
Yeah. No, I'm with you 100% on that part. That's why I didn't I'll give you my worst of the week here. And this is why I didn't rag on the Cowboys too bad in the best of the week. I went more with the positive side with Jordan Love, and I know you like to shit on the Cowboys, so I let you do it. But my worst of the week was, oh, man, those NFC – Lou stole my thunder. NFC East teams coming up small. The
NFC
Cowboys least. And the Eagles, the NFC East, it's all, you know, the media darlings. You got, you know, the Eagles coming off the Super Bowl. They were 10-1. They're improbable road favorites going into Tampa. And they go full FedEx hashtag full of quit in the middle of that game. Some of the worst tackling that you'll ever see.
Man.
Wow. I mean, we talk about bad tackling on this show sometimes. Anybody who wants – like the Eagles put on a masterclass in bad tackling. They didn't want to be there. They let Baker Mayfield absolutely shred them. And I wasn't joking. He is falling apart at the seams.
Yeah.
They're peeling him up off the turf at points in that game. And he goes out there and just completely airs out that Philadelphia – this vaunted Philadelphia defense, he just completely aired them out. Baker Mayfield, that guy. And then we already talked – I mean, how much more could you say bad about the Cowboys? Like I said, the quintessential Dak time spot, they're only down 7-0 or 14-0. They're already trying to console CeeDee Lamb. And then that's where Dak got in trouble. He's trying to feed CeeDee Lamb the ball.
Yeah, he's trying to force it to him, yeah.
He's forcing it to – this is not – that's the shit you work on in week two. You know, and then when they finally did start moving the ball, he was working the ball to Ferguson and Gallup, and they were actually, you know, like playing offense like you should. Look, throw to the open guy. But, no, we got to get CeeDee, and CeeDee Lamb was great all season long. But you get into that spot, and you get down early, and they panicked. That's the only thing. That's it, yeah. That was definitely tight sphincter time. To have the Packers go in there, like you said, take the ball and go right down the field and score a touchdown and put like that whole place on notice. They had no they couldn't react to it.
They're going to take the ball, and they actually did score this time.
They actually, we want the ball, and we're going to score. They actually did it. So,
yeah, Matt Hasselbeck nowhere to be found.
The NFC least is my worst of the week.
Well earned, man. Were they terrible? Okay. Take your headphones down. You are going to absolutely hate my smartest of the week. So for the next 90 seconds or so,
Uh-oh.
Go ahead and take your headphones off and get ready. And if you don't say I didn't warn you. So, all right? Yeah, here we go. My smartest of Wild Card Weekend. Taylor Swift is an even bigger name now than before she started seeing Travis Kelce. I don't care. Yeah, I told you. I warned you. Take your headphones out. You didn't listen. She was a megastar anyway, okay? I understand that. But now she's known to the sports world, which nobody in the sports world gave a shit about her before. But now everyone knows her. I was struck by her reactions all year and the wild cheering, the let's fucking go. And then this game Saturday, like, it was another level. Like, she's swag surfing with the crowd. She put her hands to her face after Kelce caught one of his passes. She put her hands up as if she was like overcome because she was so happy for him. Like, I don't know how much of that is an act. I don't know how much is real. Maybe she's just one of those that just intensely feels everything she goes through out loud all the time. And it gets on everyone's nerves. I understand that. But maybe she just feels every emotion in life like that. And she, you know, maybe she won't. But either way, I'm impressed that she's connected to the bit and committed to the bit, and just she's playing the football player girlfriend part all the way to the hilt, and she's doing it in that weather. Like, dude, I don't care what you do to me in bed. I don't care how good it is. I'm not getting on a fucking plane and coming to Kansas City in the middle of -6 degree, -7 degree weather and watching you play football. If you're not paying me to come to Kansas City in that weather, I ain't coming. And I don't mean pay like $500,000. I mean pay like millions. Like, there's no reason for me to come in that weather and sit outside. I understand she was in a booth, but it's still cold as fuck. There's no way I'd be doing that. I don't care. I love you. Go play your game. I'm rooting like hell for you. I'll be cheering like hell for you in my chair at home in my comfy condo, wherever the hell I live. There's no way I'd be doing that. She is committed. And I thought by the, you know, just the time of it, like this is late, you know, this, not even late in the season anymore. It's past the season. It's postseason. There's no way I thought she'd still be around at this point. I thought she'd be back to fucking John Mayer by now. Like, she is so committed to it, and she is so smart for doing it because her name is everywhere. Like, it was already everywhere anyway, but now it's even more everywhere. And, of course, Kelsey is doing it for the publicity. He's very smart as well. I'm so impressed by her sticking with this. So she's my smartest. I don't care.
Oh, man. Smart. All right. Hey. All right. Good for you.
All right,
finally starting to see, I'm finally starting to see some Yoko Ono stuff on the ex Twitter, and I want everybody to know I was there first.
Okay.
I was calling her that before it was cool.
At this point, I don't know, man. She's way more committed that she's there longer than I would have ever thought. So I don't know.
There's rumors that they're going to go off and get married this offseason.
That would make sense. Like, again, who is going through those conditions unless it's, like, serious? Like, I wouldn't be. I know that. There's no way. So I'm impressed. So what was your smartest of?
Well, I'm going to actually, you know, wipe the puke from my mouth here.
I told you don't listen.
Well, I had to. So you piqued my interest. I'm going to give this to. I'm going to go. Nothing to do with the playoffs here. I'm going. You know, because we have our football week, right? We have our league week, and something happened here today, and games haven't kicked off yet. I'm giving this one, and as we suspected, this might happen, but I was kind of hoping it would happen, even though I have no rooting interest in it. But the LV Raiders did re-up Antonio Pierce, which means that he has now completed the full reverse Saturday and gone, you know, and the ex-player who's not coming out of the booth, but he comes out, he goes up through the coaching ranks, he gets the job, and he runs with it. And he had the backing of his team. He completely changed that organization and their outcomes in the second half, had them in competition for the division title if the Chiefs had continued their backward slide. And today word comes down that he is going to be the full-time head coach of the LV Raiders. And for an organization that's not known for doing smart things, I have to give them credit here for doing something smart. So Las Vegas Raiders, re-upping Antonio Pierce. That is my smartest of the week.
Yeah, amen, and props to Mark Davis, and props to the Raiders for doing the not just the right thing, but like seemingly the like only smart thing to do. Like, we're hard pressed to think of any other interim coach that came in and just switched everything around and made that team try when they weren't trying and
yes,
perform when they weren't performing. Probably the closest thing in the last decade that we can think of is ironically that same franchise when Rich Bisaccia took over, and then Mark Davis
right,
failed to make him the full-time coach because he had to have Boy Wonder, and you see how
yep,
that worked out. So he did not make the same mistake twice. Good for him.
No, I'm definitely going to give them the credit for doing that, and yeah, like definitely not a franchise that's known for that, but yeah, we don't see this very often. Usually we talk about the dead cat bounce, which they got, but then it kept going up.
Right, the dead cat bounce is what the Chargers idiot did, whoever that guy was.
Yes.
I don't even remember his name anymore.
Right.
But this was more than that. Right.
No, this was a resurgence, and they didn't win every game. They didn't win out, but they competed and they played hard, and clearly, you know, Davante Adams and the players, they vocally were saying, no, this is our guy. I think that went a long way to, you know, so the team backing him up. I like the move. You know, maybe things start to point up in, I'd say Oakland, but in Vegas.
gotta get it right. The Las Vegas, Oakland, Los Angeles Raiders. Max Crosby like was completely out there for Antonio Pierce. He intimated that he would demand a trade if they didn't bring him back. So that's really going to bat for your guys. So good for Mark Davis for listening to his team and just doing, like I said, the only thing that seemed to be the only move that seemed to make sense for the Raiders right there. All right, on to my dumbest.
Don't.
Boy, there's a lot to choose from Wild Card Weekend for dumbest. But you know where I'm going. You thought it'd be my letdown, but it's just going to be the dumbest for me. Your quarterback has a dislocated finger. Your best wide receiver is missing.
Yeah.
You're facing a coach who loves blitzing. Let's throw 35 times and run 15 for the game. Nick Sirianni.
And do neither well.
and not perform. Well, they didn't do a damn thing well.
No.
Defense, offense, but there's nothing they did well. Nick Sirianni and his offensive coordinator, Brian Johnson, brought the absolute worst, dumbest game plan you could think of. And the Eagles never had a chance in Tampa. Bucks coverage and pressure made Jalen Hurts play unsure and slow. Looked like his first playoff game in Tampa. Like he had come so far since then. He looked so much better. MVP candidate, everything. Great Super Bowl game last year. Played his ass off. Everything looking up, looking the right direction. 10-1 this year. Everyone knows about that. And just looking like complete ass in this game along with the rest of his team. But the game plan was really stupid and really sucked. They had this game. They pretend like they don't have running options. They sabotaged themselves. They didn't try. They didn't even try to run the damn ball. Two runs to start the game, and then three more runs the entire first half with a quarterback with a busted finger. Like, what the hell are you doing? I'm so disgusted with the Bucks, but with the Eagles, rather. But everything else for their bad play and not trying or whatever, but they were also very stupid bringing a terrible game plan to the table.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get you're bitter because three full points in Wild Card Weekend in the playoff hunt for you against me would have been huge, but you get 1 point, which is like, man, whatever. It really doesn't mean much, but yeah, I was really sweating, like, oh my God, you know, because you got me good on Houston and Green Bay, and I'm like, man, my hopes all rely on Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Bucks, and man. Thank God that the Eagles completely shit the bed.
Anybody would have beat the Eagles. It wasn't even about Baker and the
no,
Bucks. Anybody.
That was the collapse. I mean, we watched it.
Yeah.
I mean, we watched it. They lost to Arizona. They lost to the Giants. They got housed by the Giants in a game they needed to win. Their defense, that we remember when we were talking about their draft, and like, they're not going to let anybody score.
Yeah. How long ago does that feel?
Yeah. Oh.
You're dumbest of Wild Card
Week. No! I'll give you my dumbest of the week. Little story popped up this week, and it was so dumb, I had to give it the award. Todd Bowles this week. The winning coach is not—he's not my dumbest of the week. Todd Bowles had a great game plan, blitzed the hell out of the Philadelphia Eagles. No, great thing, Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles gets asked by a reporter that's so dumb, we can't actually get the person's name. Trust me, I scoured the internet for this reporter's name, and the best I could come up with was a female reporter. That's it.
Yeah.
He gets asked, and I quote, "Coach, looking forward to Detroit. The weather's been a factor in some of the playoff games, even for the most prepared teams. Today it's 13 in Detroit, which doesn't compare to some of the temperatures it could get up to," which I don't know what that means. "Any special plans to acclimate the team to not only endure, but perform in those kind of frigid temperatures should you face them in Detroit? I encourage everybody," end quote, by the way, "I encourage everybody to go and find the YouTube clip of Todd Bowles' face and stunned reaction when he got asked about the temperature in Detroit for a game he's about to go and play in a dome.
No!
So, and he, it, yeah, he just, the most stunned look. And he just, his answer was, "You do know we play indoors, right? They got a dome." It's all he could come up with, and it was and he was so nice about it. I could imagine a whole lot of other coaches not being as nice and respectful as Todd Bowles was in that condition.
What would Belichick have said?
Oh, my God. But being asked about the playing conditions because it's cold in Detroit when you're about to go and play in a dome, I salute you, a female reporter. That is the dumbest of the week.
I wish her name was actually a, you know, period, female reporter. That's actually my name. Come on. The only reference I was going to make to that was when we made our picks for the divisional round weekend, and I was going to talk about, oh, man, it's really cold this weekend in Detroit. They got to really bear up and get themselves girded up because it's going to be so frigid out there. And I was going to let you get the joke, but you got it so much that you already beat me to it and gave it your dumbest of the week. So you're all over that one.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, you know, we find everything, right? You can't get it by us.
We try.
A female reporter.
She had to be like the, you know how these newspapers are all, you know, chopping everybody off and getting rid of staff here. And she had to be like the political science reporter or something that they decided to throw in the locker room to do the sports this weekend because they got rid of their sports guy or something. She had to have no idea what she was doing and came up with such an intricate, beautifully worded question, except for one small issue.
If this wasn't a female reporter, I would have thought this was like Borat or something.
Right. Howard Stern sent someone to prank them, yeah.
I'd be looking around like, all right, man, where's Alan Funt?
Where's the cameras? Really aging yourself there.
I did. I made an Alan Funt reference on our podcast.
Wow. I could say that's a surprise, and that could segue into our surprise.
If we've got the geriatric podcast crowd, I just brought in a few more.
Hey, what happened? No, it's perfect. Like, the only two live listeners would be Lou and Jersey and your mom, and they would both get that.
They both get that. They both understand candid camera. Well, would it be like Punked or something? Would that be a little bit more modern or something? Are they looking for Ashton Kutcher?
Okay, that's a little better, sure. A
little better?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Neither show I ever watched, so it doesn't really affect me.
Me neither, but I know about it, right? Because it's in the lexicon, so.
We've heard of it.
Yes, but thank you, a female reporter, for giving me one of the biggest laughs of the week.
A period female reporter. My biggest surprise of Wildcard Weekend, I did not think Sam Laporta was going to play for Detroit with that hyperextended knee.
Yeah.
And he doesn't just play. Got the biggest damn knee brace you've ever seen. Looked like a wrestler coming back from a torn ACL hobbling around out there. But he played and he scored. Very key piece of the Lions' victory over the Rams. Only three catches, but one of them for a touchdown in a one-point victory. Very key part of the victory. He pulled a Willis Reed. He didn't do much, but what he did carried them on, was hugely important for the victory. There's another geriatric reference, Willis Reed. And I think it says something about Dan Campbell and his best trait as a coach. He gets his guys playing for him to their motherfucking death. I mean, those guys will run through you hear about that. They'll run through a wall for their coach. That dude got his knee hyperextended and is out there and just put a big-ass brace on it, and I'll go out there and play. I would have been like, man, shit, ain't no way in hell. It's going to rain up in this motherfucker before I go back.
Because his coach was a dumbass.
Yeah. And that same coach, he's getting out there and trying to get up and play for him. That's what Dan Campbell does. Whatever magic he's got, that's clearly his biggest trait. You know, as tough as football players are, I don't think too many guys would have played the next week with that shit.
The outcome was a surprise, but you know what was not a surprise was how severely limited he looked. That was not the same Lions offense with a bruised and battered and banged up Sam Laporta, all thanks to what we gave dumbest of the week, I believe both of us did.
Yeah.
Back for week 18, which was, what are you doing? And let's hope that doesn't, you know, get affected against Tampa here. But we'll see.
And he says, I'll just score the game-winning touchdown against the Rams and knock him out of the playoffs. Wow, that was crazy. So your biggest surprise of Wildcard Weekend?
You alluded to it, talking about teams coming up small. But I was completely shocked by the Dolphins. Just that was – we talk about the Eagles and just quitting. The Dolphins, I don't even know why they showed up. They
did not want to be there at all.
And it looked like it. It was every bit of a team. It wasn't even quitting. You can't quit. You have to be there to quit. They weren't there.
They never started.
They never – right. There was nothing. They didn't have an opportunity to quit because they were never on the clock in that entire game. That was one of the most uninspired offensive and defensive efforts, quote-unquote, in a playoff game that you'll see. It's exactly what we predicted would happen to the Dolphins if they were somehow able to crap away not being able to play a game in sunny Miami. And boy, did they get the price to pay for not getting that home game and beating the Bills. They got sent to hell on earth. Excuse me. One of the fourth coldest game ever. And they looked every part of it. And it's not even, I have no awards for the Chiefs because they didn't have to do anything.
Right.
The Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, he had some, good rapport with Rishi Rice and Travis Kelce. I think they had 22 targets combined between the two of them. But they didn't need any. They didn't have to do anything. The Dolphins were never in that game, ever. And that was for a playoff team to go into that spot and just completely no-show. That, to me, was a surprise.
We both nailed that one. We both got that one right on the head. Because we knew. we as soon as we saw the weather, and Miami's going to go there and get destroyed because they're not going to want any part of that weather. And I tell you what, I'm watching that thing, sports, man. Nothing but sports makes thousands of people volunteer to sit outside in -4 degrees for three
right.
hours. And not just volunteer, but pay for the privilege. The only sports does that. In Kansas City, Chiefs get the usual tough running effort from Isaiah Pacheco. The only pass they did exactly how they wanted, exactly the way I said, the only pass catchers Patrick Mahomes trusted were Travis Kelce and Rasheed Rice.
Yeah.
They score on the opening drive. Miami so did not want to be there. You got the cold, you got the wind. That affects KC too, but this is the Dolphins. This is, to your point about the biggest surprise, this is the all-time, progressive offense, setting records, put up 70 points. They look like they were running at half speed. Kelce had some drops thanks to Tay-Tay's juices on his fingers, but he recovered and made some big plays as well. But Miami, they had no interest at all in being in that game. Tyreek Hill, of course, is the one with the experience playing in those conditions, the former Chief. And, of course, he goes and hits a home run and scores a big touchdown. And that's it. The Dolphins get nothing else on
right.
the scoreboard except for Tyreek Hill.
They would
have been shut
out
if not for Tyreek Hill.
Go back here, maybe go back in the Wayback Machine here. You know what this reminded me of? The closest analogy I could come up, this reminded me of those old run-and-shoot Houston Oilers teams.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime that they had to go and play in adverse conditions, right?
Yeah,
how that just did not translate. That's what it looked like. But at least those teams were trying. there was no trying going on with the Miami Dolphins in that game at all. They lost the mental battle against Mother Nature before that ball even got kicked off. They were done.
Your favorite franchise, the Falcons, anytime they have to go and play a tough game outdoors, they look like they're running at half speed, and they've been doing that for 20 years now.
Yeah.
So you're used to that. That brings me to my my biggest letdown. There's so many, again, to choose from a whole lot of things that let you down watching Wild Card Weekend. Lou, clearly... Lou in Jersey was clearly let down by all of the proceedings last weekend, about all those blowouts.
Yeah, he was not happy with Wild Card, Super Mega Wicked Wild Card Weekend. Yay, sports was not Lou's cup of tea.
What I chose as a letdown was actually a game that I got correct. But all of Cleveland got their hopes up behind old man Joe Flacco, and he went toe-to-toe with C.J. Stroud for a half, and then Joe Flacco. He got pressured into a bad throw for Steven Nelson pick six. He just doesn't take care of the ball as careful as Stroud. That was the big difference in that game, and he follows that up immediately the next drive, fourth down, another pick six right in the chest of Christian Harris. That'd be a huge letdown for all of Cleveland. They went through all of the drama with all their quarterbacks, all 400, 500, 700, whatever quarterbacks they had during the season. And they get to Joe Flacco off his couch and they see what he puts up and go, oh, look at this. Okay, we actually got some guy that's going to get it downfield. He's going to get it up in the air. We actually got a chance now. We've had the running game all year. Now we got a guy that can actually get the ball out there and take advantage of the passing. We got this great defense. We're ready to rock and roll. We're going to go far. We're going to go places. And yeah, they failed to recognize what Joe Flacco also does, getting the ball out there. He also gets it out there to the other team quite a bit because that's Joe Flacco. That's what he does. He'll throw it up for you, and he'll throw it up for them too. So that was the letdown for me because I'm watching that game, and he's, like I said, he's going toe-to-toe with Stroud there for a while. And then broke all of a sudden with the two six pick sixes there.
Right, something snapped. Well, it was 24-14. In the context of the game, they're down 24-14 and driving because, like you said, this was a ping pong match for most of it early. It was turning into the fun game. It was getting right. This was going to
be
the fun
was
game
be
of the
fun
weekend.
Game.
We're like, yeah, this is great. Touchdown. You play. You just like, okay, we're not going to play any defense at all in this game, and we're just going to have one of those. This is going to be one of those just crazy all-time barn burner wild card matchups, and you've got 24-14 and Cleveland driving, right? They're in scoring range, and 82-yard pick six.
Oop.
And another pick six.
Nope.
And that's when Danielle entered the house.
Back to back? What the hell? Danielle, where you at?
The game, 72-71.
It robbed us of a classic game. Joe Flacco just Flacco's all over the place, but it was the best and the worst of Joe Flacco. It's what they got him for. He was the veteran. He was slinging it, right? Who gives a shit? I'm just gonna boom, just throw it. And he was throwing picks that whole time, but man, just two of the worst outcomes that you can have. In a playoff game, in a competitive matchup. So, I salute Joe Flacco for running it back, giving it another go. He had a nice season. He made himself some extra cash, made them the most competitive at the quarterback position that they were all season, right? They probably don't have that same run if it's DTR or P.J. Walker.
No.
So good for you, Joe Flacco. You kind of gave us the best and the worst, but man, absolutely shits all over a competitive game and goes back to back pick sixes on us. Like, man, that's a Matt Schaub level quarterback play that we got there in the third quarter. In the third quarter of that game, which really, I mean, it put that game into blowout territory. That was probably. The score was more lopsided than the actual game was up to that point. Up to that point, it was a slugfest.
Yeah, that's 24-14, and the final is 45-14. So clearly, that was the point.
That's when the wheels
came
off.
Lost all hope. Abandoned hope, all ye who enter here.
So, but for the first 2.5 quarters, the Browns were game. And boy, talk about a heckle and jide team. Those road home splits for that Browns defense this year, we alluded to it some, but boy, was that on display against Houston. Because that was not the same Browns defense at all in that game at all. I mean, I know C.J. Stroud, he had a great game, ended up with the same quarterback rating as Jordan Love. They both balled out. They had a great game.
Their stats are almost identical.
Almost identical. Just creepy. That's why I almost gave them both the who do you think you are? I am back to back, but still just gave that slight edge to Love for doing it on the road and doing it to America's team, not doing it to a Cleveland team that for some reason can't play defense on the road.
Weird. Although I would give the credit for that to Stroud because he was just strifing some balls in some really tight spots.
Yes.
He played unbelievable.
No, he did play great. So that's why I still wanted to make sure I gave him a little bit of shine, even though I didn't have an award for him.
Yeah. So that was your Danielle. So you didn't give your letdown yet?
I did not. I am one of these, you know, I'm a football purist, right? I'm not like a baseball purist, you know, because we do have some progressive thoughts. But I'm one of these, you know, like I like football, right? I want guys to go out there. I want guys to hit, and I want them to play in the elements. And what let me down is we were robbed of one of the great all-time bad weather games in Buffalo. I don't care how much snow there was. I wanted to see. It's why we picked the Steelers, by the way. It made me almost change my pick when they moved that game. But
yeah, I was a little afraid, too. I was like, oh, boy.
I was a little worried. Like, okay, they're playing
yeah.
in more neutral conditions now. This actually favors Buffalo, where I thought if they were playing in the elements,
right?
You know, I really feel like it's funny because my son has been watching YouTube videos and this a few, you know, he's always watching YouTube videos, but this last week we were watching videos. He was watching them about all of these like all time bad weather football games. It was just random. He was watching it and he was like the Fog Bowl and, you know, all those blizzard games. And then the one in Carolina where it was raining down the stands.
Oh yeah.
Cause it was coming down so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I was robbed. We were all robbed as football fans, for people who want to watch them, you know, as for us who used to play in the snow, right? I had visions of watching my son watching videos of them all running around in the snow where you couldn't even see the field. I'm like, that's what we did, right? We'd do that in high school. We're all running around in the snow. We didn't care. It's a foot deep. I wanted that. That's what Buffalo plays for that home field advantage. And that, to me, was a big letdown that they ended up moving that game. I understand all the safety angles, so I don't want anybody to die or get snowed in or any of that stuff. But for what it could have been, one of those all-time great weather games, it was let down. I felt like we had something taken from us that could have been great.
Yeah, I know you were let down. We were texting and talking about it. I was like, oh, the NFL caved in. They had to move that game. As it turned out, I really don't think they were going to. I think they were going to do what you hoped that they were going to do, which is, you know, be obstinate and put their foot down and say, nope, we're going to play this game. This is when it was scheduled and we're going to do it anyway. It's all about the travel ban that got instituted. Like, you wouldn't have had any fans because it was a ban on coming anywhere. It was so bad. The weather conditions were that bad that you were not allowed to travel. You were not allowed to go anywhere. So the not only would the conditions would have been terrible for the players, but you wouldn't have had any fans there at all. You would have given up all those concession fee money, parking fees,
right.
All of that. They weren't going to give all that away. So they said, no, we're just going to move it to Monday where it's going to be a little better. And they still had to, you know, sit on ice when they got there because the
stands
really weren't clear.
Yeah, you were talking about the people. You were talking about that's the other point. As I knew I was going to be talking about this, that's sort of the other side of what you were talking about with people sitting in the, you know, sub-zero temperatures and the sub-zero wind chills. Was Buffalo had no assigned seats for the game. They just told people go carve yourself out a spot in the snow. And
find somewhere that you can bear it and just sit
find
there.
Find somewhere where you can move the snow enough out of the way and you can stand there.
Wow.
And yeah, absolutely wild. So it was first come, first serve with Southwest Airlines. It was just go push the snow out of the way. You know, we cleared the aisles for you, but the rows, have fun. And then I do like how the fans that, you know, people would be thrown out if they were throwing snowballs. And as soon as the Bills scored their first touchdown,
everybody was throwing snowballs.
Like, you know what? No, you're making us do this. We're going to have some fun. Good for you, Bills Mafia. I liked that.
And when the Steelers got close to the end zone, here come the snowballs again in the middle of a play. Like, one snowball almost affected a play because it was coming toward the receiver at the same time as the ball. And thankfully, the snowball missed the receiver. And all of that was to be expected in those conditions from Bills Mafia, especially, but any football stadium, any football fans in those conditions, it would have turned into something like that. So that, no surprise there. But yeah, I knew you were disappointed by the decision, but once I saw that it wasn't the NFL making the decision, it was basically the state that had a travel ban instituted. It's like, well, okay, you can't have people trying to come out.
I guess.
All right. We got to get to Joe now. My struggle, boy, again, a lot of choices here.
Struggling.
Ooh, well, what do I pick for struggling out of that wild card weekend where we had how many games end within 14 points? All five were by 14 or more, except for the Rams Detroit game. But
yeah,
a lot of people struggling. I gave it to all those coaches who had to listen to criticism and calls for their jobs after this weekend. You think your job is not an issue if you're a playoff squad, but if you're the Cowboys and you do that, yeah, Mike McCarthy, your job is an issue. If you're the Phillies and you do that, the Eagles, and Nick Sirianni does that, man, that's so bad. Dan Quinn couldn't have slept well because his defense looked like shit for the Cowboys. All of a sudden, Sirianni's on the hot seat. I think something was coming out that maybe they made a decision
him. They almost gave Jimmy Johnson an aneurysm at halftime.
Yeah, and for good reason. they look like complete crap. All those coaches, Mike Tomlin heard a reporter start asking him about having 1 year left on his contract, and he just about-faced and out. Yep. I am not interested. And March. And he just
imagine
walks.
If they would have asked him about the temperature in Detroit.
He would have probably had the same look as Todd Bowles. Oh, like, what? Huh? What are we doing here? No response. That was actually a very funny clip of Tomlin.
I saw it. He just looked at her. It was like,
Coach,
you only have 1 year left on your contract.
See ya. Just didn't even cuss her out. Didn't do nothing. Just left. So all those coaches, the Eagles coaching staff, the Aztec with the pencil behind his ear, all of them. They were all struggling this weekend, and for good reason. They deserved it.
Yeah. I've had a lot of mine for Joe. Hit me. Where's Joe?
Struggling.
I'm going back on the field for this one. I'm going to tell you who was struggling and what specifically was struggling this week. Probably most directly affected the outcome of one of the games. Was because of the struggles of the Rams in the red zone. That's who is struggling. Mm. You're playing playoff football here, and you had to kick three field goals of, here we go, 24, 27, and 29 yards in a game that you lost by one, which means, I'm doing the math here, that means you kicked field goals from the 6, the 9, and the 11-yard line.
Yeah,
that's not going to get it done in the playoffs. You know, you've got to have a better scheme. Sean McVay, I don't want to be that guy. Maybe you got to go for it in some of these spots too. I know that they were putting you in some fourth and longs, but you lost the game by 1 point. The Lions were scoring touchdowns, and you were kicking field goals, and you were on the road, and that's why you lost the game. So the Rams' red zone offense, because the Rams, we both had the Rams. We won the pick.
We did.
The Rams, and we were talking about the Lions and their gutty effort and Sam LaPorta. Matthew Stafford played a hell of a game, 25 of 36 for 367. That's over 10 yards per attempt. I believe that's elite in your book. Yeah, Puka Nacua just goes insane again, 181 yards and a touchdown on the day. They did everything they needed to do to win the game. But punch the ball into the end zone. So that's why I'm giving Rams my struggling. Their red zone offense just wasn't doing it.
No, that's well earned. Stafford, the former China doll, who did not have the reputation as the toughest guy when he first got in the league, doing all of this, battling back with a gnarly-ass bloody knuckle. So it was there was a lot going on there. And he hung in there, and he played as well as he could. And in the middle of a flawless performance by Jared Goff, he responded to a near sack by chest passing the ball backwards at one point towards a tight end. Like, where the hell did that come from? So it was one of those games where they're both trying, both those quarterbacks in that pressure situation, traded for each other, Stafford coming back to his former home, all of that. They both played their asses off. And that was it was the tightest game of the weekend, and it was incredibly tense. It wasn't flawlessly played, but it was very well played. Like you said, the Rams had so many opportunities to put that ball in the end zone, and they would have taken that game. It was there for them. It was right there. No touchdowns in the second half. Both teams just turned up the pressure on each other, but the big factor, the biggest pressure was Aiden Hutchinson. He was a man among boys. He was a man possessed. Two sacks and all those pressures that's what kept the Rams from touchdowns in the red zone was Aiden Hutchinson by himself. What an effort, what an atmosphere. Good for the long-suffering Lions fans. That was kind of heartwarming to hear them as loud as they were cheering. And that was, you want to talk about up there in Wisconsin having a party all week and feeling good. Man, Motown must have really been on a week-long bender because they were just feeling all sorts of good all week up there.
Yeah, and the Lions did their Lions thing at the end and not punt, and then they go for it and they get the first down. You know, they did all the Lions things that they've been doing that have earned them this spot and playing with a little bit more reckless abandon in the play calling and, you know, kind of the things that have, you know, they fight for that coach and all that. But even though we won the pick, I think we really had that upset called too. I thought we could have brought that home too. It wouldn't have won us anything else, or, you know, it's a win is a win. If we would have bet that on the spread, we would have won money.
Right.
But I really thought that the Rams were the better team on the field. They just weren't able to finish those drives, and they had to go home.
Yeah, that was a gut punch for me. I had a six-way parlay going with those six games, and of course, those first three, I'm looking good.
Yeah.
And that fourth, I did not have Rams plus three. I had Rams straight up, and that put an end to those dreams.
And they lose by one.
Yeah. It's okay. I would have been knocked out the next day because of Pittsburgh and the friggin' Eagles. So that just leaves me some Danielle, and then we'll make our picks for the divisional round weekend. Deshaun Elliott of the Dolphins smashed Pat Mahomes head-to-head, and Mahomes' helmet cracked like a goddamn egg.
It exploded!
The fuck? Of all helmets to not pass the factory defect test, that guy's helmet, the face of the league, Pat Mahomes.
Uh-huh.
Really? That guy's. Come on, man. They had to go get a whole new helmet. I would have thought the star quarterback's helmet would be like reinforced, like that's the one that shouldn't come anywhere near breaking like that. It completely shattered. That's the last helmet that should crack like that, and that was the WTF of the weekend for me, because I'm like, did I just see what I think I saw? The piece of helmet went flying. What the hell? The fuck was that? Come on.
My kids had a nasty habit when they were little. You know, we'd be cleaning up from dinner and we'd tell them to go put their plates in the sink. Well, they were kind of shorter than the height of the counter, so they'd put their arm up over their head and then, like, slam the plate into the sink, and it would shatter. That's what Patrick Mahomes' head did, his helmet. That was crazy. And there's people that were whining, like, oh, they should have had to have called a timeout. No, the refs made a correct decision to not let him play with a shattered helmet, and they let him go get a new helmet. And they do have the discretion to do that. And I get there's all the tinfoil.
They made that decision, by the way, two plays later, because they didn't even notice at first what happened.
As much juice and evidence as they give us towards these things where we think that there might be something a little untoward going on sometimes with these teams, that wasn't it. So that was just one of those people looking for anything to try to make it into a controversy. And I was just like, come on, really? Look, like, watch the replay. His helmet exploded. I mean, that was.
But they should have had to use a timeout.
No, he changed his equipment. Oh, they're giving him the star treatment. No, any player whose helmet's falling apart on his head, I'm guessing is going to be allowed to get a replacement.
No, football. Man up. Play with a broken helmet. Come on. No. Yeah, some people want to complain about anything, but we already know that. But, yeah, that was my WTF. What the fuck? Yeah, helmet just explodes like a friggin' egg. Come on. All right, that is our crazy recap of it was a wild card weekend with a lot of blowouts and a lot of non-contests, but there was still a lot of wildness that happened.
And even it's funny, weekend. Though, there was only six games, and we were less kumbaya with six games than we are sometimes with 16.
That's strange. That's one of those weird, wild things. We will see how kumbaya we are in our picks as the conference semifinals, the division round.
Be a fun one.
Yeah, four big ones coming up, and we will get into those in a couple of minutes. You are listening live to In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Not on the radio, but only here on the website, blogtalkradio.com/InMuchLessDetail. To be notified when we're live, you can follow the show on the Blog Talk Radio website, or you can follow my Twitter feed at IMLDDre when I tweet out when we're live before every show. Jason is on Twitter too. His feed is at IMLDJTG. Our show is available as a podcast where you get the live show and a special VIP after show. To listen to the show as a podcast, about an hour or so after the live show is over, come back to the show page and look through our archives, or subscribe on iTunes or any number of different podcasting apps, including Player.fm, Mixcloud, Blueberry, and the TuneIn Radio app. You'll get the whole show, the live show and the after show, downloaded straight to you. You can always send us a question or comment or shout out via email to the following email address, inmuchlessdetail@gmail.com. You can follow all of our picks on our blog. The website for the blog is inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com. Our Thursday night picks will be available Thursday afternoon on our Twitter feeds. Again, that's at IMLDDre and at IMLDJTG. This copyrighted broadcast is a production of Jay and Me and is solely performed for our entertainment, as well as for any poor soul who happens to be listening. It is intended to be a football pick show for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any publication, reproduction, retransmission, or any other use of the descriptions and accounts of this podcast without the express written consent of Jay or me is strictly prohibited. Here's the point system in our playoff system that we have set up. We have 102.3 points for me to start the playoffs, and Jay started with an even 100, and I was able to get 4 points for my four wild card victories. Jay had 3 victories, putting me at 106.3 and Jay at 103. So Jay now, for all intents and purposes, 4 points behind me as we get into the divisional round weekend. 3 points on the line for each game for divisional round, what I call conference semifinals. So 12 big points on the line. Jay has very fond memories of weekends years ago when he seemed to go perfect for the divisional round weekends. Seemed like you were making a habit of getting all 12 points for that round. And I was sitting there
there was one year, and I forget, what sort of catapulted that was the year where it was the division round and we disagreed on all four. And I won all four. Yeah.
Yep.
And then that started a string of, maybe got to be 4 or 5 years where I just did not lose divisional round games.
I never lose a divisional round.
That has obviously worn off. I mean, you can't keep that up. If that was the case, I would only gamble division round games. But there was a run, and this was probably late 2000s, early into the maybe like 2010s, where I was just running like no matter how high in front of me you were, we knew division round, I was coming back.
Yeah. You were running me down, yeah.
And if I had the lead, it was over.
Right. Yeah, thankfully you don't keep that up anymore. Hopefully we'll get a lot better result for me this week.
I'll tell you, my normal feeling with division round is as soon as I know the matchups, I'm done. That I know my picks, right? It's like boom, 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 boom. I'm not changing. This is what I'm picking. I struggled this week. I was like, whoa, there's so many where there's big numbers. It's like, okay, you got to play these games out in your head. We have two huge spreads for what would be the division round. It's not just – you can just look at it and go, well, yeah, this is easy. Bang, bang, bang. This one I struggled with, just so you know. Maybe that's good for you or bad news for you. I don't know how you take that, but
– I flip-flopped too.
Okay.
I also had some picks where I just thought I was going to go this way, and then I got there tonight and said – no, I'm going to go the other way on a couple of these. I actually don't want to do that. So I'm with you. I also struggle with some of these picks. So we'll see how they go for us.
Wow.
Now let's talk about some games in more detail.
Or much less detail as we tend to do. Or actually more detail in the playoffs because we tend to run long with these.
Yeah, we've got 40 minutes for four games. We should be able to come in on time.
Should. We always should be, but we rarely do. Tomorrow afternoon, get started. Texans-Ravens at 4:30 Eastern. The Texans now up to 11 wins on the season. Baltimore comes in number one seed in the AFC at 13-4. Houston was 4-4 on the road this year. Baltimore 6-3 at home. To start the season, Baltimore hosted the Houston Texans in week one and beat them handily, 25-9, I'm sorry, because you can't bet against Baltimore in week one. And I tried to. I tried to get cute and take the rookie C.J. Stroud in the very first game of his career. It did not work out against Baltimore, and you locked that up for the Ravens, of course. Even though Stroud didn't play bad, he had 240-some yards. And even though the Ravens got started with their injuries early in the season, right off the bat in week one, lost a couple of defenders in that game. They lost their running back, J.K. Dobbins, for the season in that game with a torn Achilles. For injuries in this one, Houston will say goodbye to Noah Brown for this season. The wide receiver was trying to come back from a back injury. They put him on injured reserve, so he's done. And they will not have their defensive end, Jerry Hughes, again with an ankle injury. For Baltimore, they had the bye week, but still will not be able to bring tight end Mark Andrews back from his broken fibula, and they will not have their cornerback Marlon Humphrey with a calf injury. But they will bring Zay Flowers back from his calf injury and return specialist Devin Duvernay from his back injury. With all of that, the Texans are the huge underdog. You talked about the two big spreads. Interesting that the money never could push either one of these over to double digits. They kept hanging on all week. But as of an hour ago, Houston plus 9.5 at Baltimore.
Yeah. Boy, the narratives here, you've got C.J. Stroud, improbable division win, right? They blow out largely in part to his play in the slugfest against Cleveland that just goes completely off the rails. Now he's going on the road, and he gets to go play the Baltimore Ravens, right? Notorious playoff chokers in the Lamar Jackson era. Some of the worst quarterbacking play you've ever seen has come thanks to Lamar, Dr. Lamar, in the playoffs. And this is what it's all been about for them. They got the number one seed. They've got this sort of up-and-coming, we talk about these two devil-may-care teams. I think Houston, rightfully so, they're playing with house money as well. So that makes this a really compelling spot. It's a huge number, which it should be. I mean, Baltimore is clearly, I mean, it's the talent, the organization, the offense, the defense, Lamar, the way he's been playing, just the two-game stretch that he had against Miami and San Francisco, people think that's enough to catapult him into the MVP. they are the big home favorite. They're the big home favorite for a reason. The question I have and the question everybody has is, can Houston do enough to keep this game close and close late? Or can they have the lead and win? I don't really see a scenario here where Houston goes in and wins. So now I have to wrestle with the 10 points because that's basically what it is, right? Although if Baltimore can win by 10, hey, that's a cover. So
that's a cover.
Can Houston stay in this for the whole game? And I'm going to say no. I'm going to say this is where the ride ends for C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans. Maybe a year too soon for these guys. I think they maybe achieved a height that they were maybe not quite always intended to, thanks to the collapse of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then they had that nice game against the heckle and jide Cleveland defense. But I think going to Baltimore and asking for it again is too tall of a task. And I even found the stats. I don't do stats, so this. But I looked at C.J. Stroud's home and road splits, and as you'd expect, he's not quite the same guy on the road as he is at home. He throws for about 80 yards less per game on the road this season. They only have a three and 3-4 road record because one of their road wins was with Case Keenum.
Yeah, down here in Nashville.
Yeah. Lower completion percentage, almost a full yard and a half less, actually a little more than a full yard and a half less yards per attempt, 80 yards throwing per game, only 6 touchdowns thrown by C.J. Stroud in those 7 road games, only 6 touchdowns. Now, only one pick, but only 6 touchdowns in those road spots. Bright future for this young man and this organization. They're going to do some really good things, but I think it all ends a bit unceremoniously here in Baltimore. I think the better team squashes these guys.
So you're kind of calling for a sunning there, like, son, just not ready yet.
Yeah, I liked everything that the Texans have done, and they've had this nice run, and they got that nice home win, but expecting them to go on the road and do this again in Baltimore, rested, ready, I think that's just too much to ask. So I'm gonna give the 9.5. Even if they win by 10, I get a cover. I've got a feeling this is probably more like a 17-20 point victory.
Okay. My off the beaten path for these two teams, for the Texans, their longest run of the season, 24 yards. Longest run. That was the shortest of any team in the league. Who all of their longest runs, the 24 yards, they just never got on track running the football, finished tied for 22nd in the league in rushing. The Ravens, they were top 10 in yards per punt return and yards per kick return this season, mostly thanks to Devin Duvernay, who is being activated off of his injuries and coming back and playing for the Ravens. And they might need that. It might be a special team situation that might sway this, especially with that big point spread. Could be anything small like that that sways things one way or another. You don't have really weather necessarily. It's just going to be cold up there in Baltimore. There's no snow forecast for any of these games. It's just going to be cold in Baltimore and Buffalo. Really cold. Bundle up in Detroit. You already ruined that joke, so I got to spoil that now.
I gave it a whole award to it.
That's right. You're all right. Over that. We both brought it up here. Playoff Lamar, which is about as frightening as playoff Dak, because regular season is fine, but man, some of these playoff performances by these guys. Houston is very strong up front, so Lamar is probably going to have to win this thing through the air. I don't think he's going to just go crazy on the ground. He's not, you know, running for 80 or 90, 100 yards. And I don't think C.J. Stroud would go crazy against Cleveland like he did, but he's really special. I just see so many throws and looking off safeties, eye discipline. Reminded, of course, of Jordan Love playing above his age, playing above his experience level for a rookie. He's something. He looks like he's really going to be something for a long time in this league. If any rookie quarterback can play the Ravens defense shockingly well, this might be the one. This would be the one, I think. And the week one result is irrelevant because he's just a different guy. You know, like I said, 242 yards
right.
In week one, which isn't bad. But he's much better now than he was then, much better. The Ravens, I'm going to see it, a different way than you. I think they're going to go up early. I think they're going to take advantage of the home field. They're going to ride the crowd and the emotion and all of that stuff. I'm going to take the Texans and the points because I bet CJ finds a way to have a monster second half rally. I'm not going to take him to win the game, but I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a back and forth in the second half. And I think it's going to be entertaining. And I got the Ravens pulling it out 23-21.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I was my score on this one was 37-20.
Oh, yeah, you got a squishing going. Okay.
Yeah, no, I've got this being I think this game is going to be more competitive early just because of the fact that you haven't, like, the Ravens haven't played football in 3 weeks.
Right.
Because sometimes you get that little bit of rust, they had the bye, they had the week 18 bye, basically, the game they didn't really try against the Steelers. Most of their players didn't play and all the meaningful ones anyways. So sometimes it takes you a little bit, you got to go out there and have a drive or two and get back into sync. So I think that actually, if Houston, I don't think gets some early gains, I think it starts to become the Ravens start getting into gear, and then that's where the steamroll happens. So if Houston, I think Houston needs to get up early if they've got any shot in this game. So we see this one a little different, but that's okay.
Yeah, we even see it going in a different way.
I'll take a 10-point win and run and hide all day long on this one.
I'm sure you will. Who's your X factor for this one?
Well, I'll tell you what. I telegraphed this a few weeks ago. I'm going with Dalvin Cook.
That's right.
I think they're going to have some things in the playbook for him. That's because you signed him off the Jets, who they weren't really using him, and he was rusty, or he's too new to the team. He plays a position. You can put a few packages in for him. I could see him maybe getting a few screen passes, running out on a few routes. They're definitely a little thin at receiver. No Mark Andrews. I can see them working in some packages for Dalvin Cook, and if he gets I'm thinking he might get a few meaningful touches in this game.
All right.
Very complimentary to Gus Edwards as well. And
yeah.
Fresh legs.
very.
Very fresh.
And they need that compliment. Like I was bemoaning when they lost the kid,
yeah.
Keaton Mitchell. That was really the correct compliment to Gus Edwards, and they lose him to the ACL. I telegraphed my X factor 2 minutes ago when I talked about the kick returning and punt returning. So they brought back Devin Duvernay, and they might need him. It might be a special team score somewhere in there. 12.6 yards for punt return, 19.3 yards for kick return, and I think they missed him. I think they missed that element. Obviously they got the number one seed, but I think with that added, if he can break off something huge in special teams, that just puts
right.
them even farther ahead of everybody.
And sometimes you see that with these big underdog road teams that are hanging around or they're feisty, and that it's something like that that just breaks their back,
Right.
Like we're playing okay on offense. We forced a couple of punts, but man, all of a sudden it's, they get a field goal that turns into 7 the other way on a kick return or a punt or a block punt. Sometimes when it's not your day, those kinds of things happen. And that's sort of that snowball effect too. So if Devin Duvernay has a big day, I think this is route city. Because if the Ravens are able to get gains on special teams where you don't expect it, I think that this gets into, blowout territory.
It might very well do that. Yeah, when you get that 6-minute drive that you grind out to get 3 and then you turn around and give up the 102
yeah.
yard kick return, it's like, oh, come on. All right, Saturday night after that is going to be the Packers and the 49ers, and this one is also something that should be really fun and entertaining, and it's also tied for the biggest spread of the week. So in the way it's thought to not be so entertaining, and it's thought to be a blowout. Green Bay 10 wins now and 5 on the road. after they go into Dallas and destroy the Cowboys. Niners 12-5, the number one seed in the NFC, 5-3 at home, which is a little underwhelming of a home record for a number one seed. We talked about Jaire Alexander, the new captain for the Packers. I am the captain now, trying to play through a bad shoulder. So he's got a lot of things going on. He's had all sorts of issues this season. For the Niners, they're going to be down their edge rusher, Cleveland Farrell. He's out with a knee injury. But Drake Greenlaw, their stud linebacker, might return from a bad Achilles. Might be rain in this game. It's just cold in Baltimore and Buffalo, and it might rain at some point in this one. That's about it as far as weather goes all weekend. Usually we used to go back and forth with the games in playoff mode, where I would take like the second and the fourth.
Yeah.
So I'll do that again. It's not that that I was trying to make you go first all the time. I just forgot. So I'll go with this one. 9.5. Green Bay is the underdog, plus 9.5 at San Fran. This is the one I really flip flopped on all week. I thought I was going to go one way, and I wound up going the other. My off the beaten path stat: the Packers 81.8% field goals. This is piggybacking off of your X factor from last
week. Yes.
Worse than all other playoff teams except for the Rams and their crazy-ass kicking situation. But of all the other teams, the Packers were the worst kicking field goals this year. For the 49ers, they didn't put up 70 points in a game. But, once again, the 49ers led the league in yards per play at 6.6. All the craziness that the Dolphins were doing and setting records and all of that. And at the end of the day, the Niners, once again,
Yeah. Lead
the league in yards per play. Now, with that, again, like last week, Packers don't care. They don't give a damn. They just playing, they balling out and they just going out and playing loose, man. They don't care about anything. Now, they're not going to put up 48 in Santa Clara. They're not going to do that again because the Niners are not the Cowboys. So it's not going to be exactly the same, but
right.
Pack still should be playing loose and playing with house money. San Fran does kind of fall apart in their off games. They're so solid and so tight, but when they're off, they're really off. So that's one of those weird things about the Niners. Like they're either A's or F's. They don't have any in between games. So if they're on, you can't fuck with them. You can't touch them. But when they're off, they're really off. I do like Steve Wilkes' defense, of course, in San Fran, much better than Dan Quinn's. San Fran's not going to get pushed around and just mauled over and bullied by Aaron Jones and the Packers like last week. So there's a lot of differences in this one that I was playing with and taking into account when I tried to figure out which way I was going to wind up going in this. It's true that the Pack still should be loose and carefree, but it's also true they're playing a much, 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 much better franchise and a much better team. Number three run defense in all of football. San Fran's going to get theirs on offense with all those weapons, all the rest that those guys have gotten. The only question is, it's a matter of can Jordan Love stay in the shootout and still play loose and do what he has to do to keep the Packers in the game. I wouldn't be surprised if he does, but I wound up coming down on the side of the 49ers facing Nick Bosa and company and Chase Young and Eric Armstead, all those guys. It might get ugly. This might be a sunning of the Packers. Like, okay, good job killing the Cowboys, but son, you are not on our level yet. So after thinking I was going to take the Packers once again, I'm not going to play with that fire. I got away with it once. I'm not going to do it again. So I come down on the side of the 49ers and actually got it like a late blowout, maybe close for into the second half, but then pulling away late. So I'll take San Fran 41-19.
Yeah, that's a blowout. You got to wonder with the Packers, like, is the recipe there for them to succeed in this matchup, or is the clock going to strike midnight, the carriage turns back into a pumpkin, and the nice run that Jordan Love and the Packers has gone on here over. I concur. I am completely with you. I'm giving them all. I don't think it's enough. I love the story. There's plenty of rooting interest here. I'd like to see the Packers go on, but I'm not picking with my heart. I'm picking with my brain. And all of the things that they were able to do against a much, let's just say it, worse Dallas team than the team they're about to face, because the Niners do things really well that Dallas doesn't. The Niners run really well. The Dallas run game is not very good this year. Tony Pollard was a ghost this season. Christian McCaffrey, whole nother level. The passing game, that's a multiple passing game. That's not Dak staring down CeeDee Lamb, right? We're trying to force him the ball or going and consoling him on the sideline. Brock Purdy in that, here we say it, system is going to move that. I said the S word. He's going to move that ball around. It's Ayuk, it's Kittle, it's Debo. You know, it's Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield who can be an effective receiver for them as well. They're going to come at that Joe Barry soft defense so many ways. I mean, they had a nice run. They were ready to run Joe Barry out of town here 6 weeks ago. I think after tomorrow night, they're going to be ready to run him out of town again because the 49ers are – this is just a completely different beast. And all of those last-second twitch throws that Jordan Love was able to just barely get away with pinpoint precision against the Cowboys, I don't know if he's going to be able to do that. That's great that you did that. You do that again, then hey, yeah. All you got to do is just give it to him, right? Like, hey, you're going to be
your
next – You're the next Green Bay quarterback for 10 years now, and you guys are going to own the North. And, yep, it's every Bears fan nightmare. And you'll be shaking, you know, watching the game. Watching if Jordan Love goes out there and dismantles the 49ers, that would probably be your hell on earth. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's blowout territory. I think the Packers are going to try. They're going to look like a 7 seed. 9-win team going on the road facing a rested, motivated, the Niners, this is their season now because their mission starts right now, which was they want to get back to what they thought they had taken from them last year in Philly when Brock Purdy got hurt and they had no backup. I think this is where the 49ers start that. This is my Super Bowl team. I think they go out. I think they obliterate the Packers. It's going to be quite ugly.
Yeah, obviously all bets are off if Purdy bangs his arm and elbow off of somebody and tears his ligaments again. My X factor for this game, this is why the Niners got Chase Young. This is the type of games, 2.5 sacks for the Niners after that Washington trade. This is why he's here, coming off that edge, other side of Eric Armstead. They rotate guys in, Fred Warner blitzing from the linebacker spot. This is why Nick Bosa, like, come on. This is an embarrassment of riches for the 49ers on the defensive side, which people don't talk about because of how great the offense is. But I think that's where they get to Jordan Love, is too much pressure up front for Jordan Love to deal with.
Well, it happens once every few years. I concur.
Hey, there you go.
Chase Young, you got this guy for a reason, right? This is the reason that you went and you made the trade and you brought this guy in was for this spot. Because he didn't do much. He only had 2.5 sacks in the 49ers run here. But this moment in the playoffs, the big name, maybe he wasn't the most motivated guy, you know, coming out of what. Now you got to be motivated. Now you're playing for the ring. They got to get pressure on Love. They don't just have to get pressure on Love. We saw what getting pressure on Love did. Didn't go well. You have to get him on the ground. You have to finish the pressure against Jordan Love the way he's playing right now, and he might be the guy to do it.
Yep. Kumbaya. It does happen every now and then. On Sunday afternoon, the Buccaneers visit the Lions in those cold, frigid conditions in Motown. Tampa up to 10 wins on the year now, 5-4 on the road. Detroit now up to 13 wins, 7-2 at home. Tampa may miss their linebacker, Shaq Barrett, who's got a bad ankle. Detroit will be definitely missing their wide receiver, Khalif Raymond, who's got a bad knee. Detroit went down to Tampa in week 6 and beat them 20-6. Jared Goff went for 353 yards in that one. Jameson Williams had a great touchdown catch, highlight reel, just a little reminder of what he's capable of doing. In this one, not quite as big a spread. The Buccaneers, the fighting Baker Mayfields, are 6-point underdogs at Jared Goff and the Lions.
So all the arrows, everything in my head pointing at the Lions on this game, And then there's that one thing. There's one thing giving me nagging doubt. And that was the one thing that I had to wrestle with, was it giving me enough of a nagging doubt to go all the way and say, no, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to take the points, give me the Bucks. And that is, the Lions' back end is atrocious right now.
Mm-hmm.
And for you talk about trending up and trending down, that back end, that secondary of the Lions has been just getting absolutely gashed by, you know, Nick Mullins put up almost 400 on them twice. you know, Matthew Stafford, just did to them in the playoffs. They have been getting torched and torched deep a lot. We look at Tampa, it's the only thing they do. That's it. That's their whole game. They don't run efficiently. They throw it deep. It's Godwin and Evans, and is that enough? Is it going to be enough Baker on the road against that front seven, against Aiden Hutchinson, just chucking it deep, falling apart, you know? Is that going to be enough for Baker to just gut this one out on the road in that spot and attack the only exploitable weakness that I think Tampa can against the Lions? And I'm going to say no. I'm giving the points again. I'm favorite. I think that Tampa's going to make gains. I think this is probably the highest scoring game of the weekend. And I don't even see it as a blowout because my final on this one was 37-30. So it's a 6-point spread. I've got the Lions winning by 7. So when I had that and I saw the spread stayed at 6, well, I guess I got to take the Lions. But I do think I pound the over, I think, on this game. Even if it's the Lions up early, that probably just plays into Baker going into Dak mode and just chuck it and throw it, because that is the exploitable weakness on the Lions. However, some of that's also going to come with eating the sacks, Aiden Hutchinson, the pressure. But yeah, the back end of the Lions defense, if it doesn't hold up, I think they could be on upset alert if the back end is as atrocious as they've been over the last 6 weeks.
Chuck it football. That's what he does. My off-the-beaten-path stats for this one, Tampa's 75 missed tackles. Speaking of missed tackles, that was 6th lowest in the league. They were actually not missing that many tackles there, and that makes sense when you think about those veterans, Levante David, Devin White. You know, the one thing they can do is actually wrap you up and take you down. I think the Eagles had 75 missed tackles last week alone. And for Detroit, yep, you talked about it. Bombs away. Detroit gave up 9.3 yards of ADOT, defensive air yards. Only Cincinnati was worse in the entire league than the Detroit Lions, giving up the 9.3 yards on defense through the air. That's a lot of ADOT.
That's a first down almost every throw.
Right. So how can anyone put a lot of confidence to me in Tampa coming off of that Philly game, but how can you put a lot of confidence in Detroit and the way their back end has been playing? Here goes my voice as I go to the mute button.
Well, I'll cover in here for you for a second and say on the positive side, maybe that plays into what we saw against the Rams, is the back end doesn't have to be as bad when you're in the red zone because there's just less field to cover. So the guys just can't run past you because they'd be in the stands. So maybe that's the key, is they just do this. They play shitty in between the 20s, and then they clamp down because that's clearly what they did against the Rams. So maybe that plays in for you a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's still hard to figure out Tampa Bay just because of last week. Like, Utah State would have beat the Eagles. That's how bad the Eagles were. So that's what I was dealing with all week and going back and forth with this game, because I still don't trust Tampa. I still don't like their offense. They're very one-dimensional. We know, they can't run against anybody unless it's the Eagles, of course. I still don't think Baker's that good. And I was impressed by the Lions last week at home. hanging with Matthew Stafford and the Rams and not falling apart under the pressure, because that's really why we both picked the Rams, I think, over the Lions, because
yeah.
we thought, you know, Jared Goff, you know, at home with that all that pressure on him and Stafford coming in was going to eventually wilt, and he didn't. He played very good under pressure. He made some incredible throws right on time to Amon-Ra St. Brown on that tight slant to put it away, that last throw. You know, Ben Johnson is still a top-notch OC. He's still getting interviews for all these jobs. He'll take one day, but he doesn't want to. He wants to stay with Detroit and finish the job, and I think he's been a very quiet, huge part of why the Lions are where they are, why their offense is, you know, as potent as it is. Number five run offense, number two passing offense. They're not unbalanced like the Buccaneers are. They're balanced. They can get you on the ground. They can get you through the air. And I wound up coming down on the side of the Lions should roll. And I just don't trust Tampa, and I just don't trust Baker. So I'm going to do it with you and take the Lions and give 6 points. I don't have it as a 7-point game. I got an extra touchdown in there. So I got the Lions winning 31-17.
Man, I'm giving my X factor to the one impact defender on the back end that team has. Brian Branch led the team in interceptions. He's got to do something. I mean, I know his pick six was the gimme Kadarius Toney one back in week one. The one that, whoop, look what I found.
Yep, total gift.
Maybe, kid, go get your second one. If you led the team in picks. Maybe a house call here, you know, nice bookend to your season so far. I'm looking for him because somebody is going to have to make some stops in that back end. It's not going to just all be sacking Baker Mayfield. He is going to throw that ball deep. And if the Lions are just back there giving up the booty with reckless abandon, that could make it a long day for them.
Yeah, and there's only one guy that's going to sack Baker Mayfield, and it's Aiden Hutchinson. They don't have a pass rush outside of Aiden Hutchinson. My X factor is Trey Palmer, the Buccaneers receiver, because he's going to have to find somebody else. It's not just going to be, you know, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. He's got to go somewhere else. Trey Palmer, 3 touchdowns in his rookie year. And then last week, 1 catch, 56-yard touchdown, big bomb. Versus Philly, you need to bomb Detroit. You need to have guys that are going to go deep and blow them up. And you know, if he gets going, it might be a long day for Detroit. So we're both a little hesitant and trepidatious about the Lions because we know how terrible that secondary is.
Yeah, it's like they have that one fatal flaw, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this might not be the spot, but. Oh, boy, you win this week and the Niners hold serve. You've got to go take that fatal flaw to, you know, Santa Clara. Ooh, boy.
Mm-hmm. And that could be some real trouble.
Yeah.
All right.
The main event.
Yes, sir. The last game of the weekend. Sometimes it's the script writes itself and it's too easy when you're doing a schedule. This has to be the last game of the weekend, Kansas City and Buffalo, the big rivalry. The next chapter between Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. Chiefs now up to 12-6 after last weekend, the Buffalo to 11-6. Kansas City 7-2 on the road, but Buffalo 8-1 at home. So that's going to be a big matchup there. You got the Road Warriors versus the Bills Mafia. They're in Orchard Park. Bills are actually the same record now with KC. They're both up to 12 wins. They keep listing Kadarius Toney is questionable for the Chiefs again. I think they know what
decision,
they're doing with
DNP.
Uh-huh. Right. He's hurt again. We don't know what's quite wrong. He's just not quite ready yet, so they're just kind of keeping him on ice.
Whoops.
We know the Bills have all their injuries, all their defenders that they've been losing. They also will not have receiver Gabe Davis again with a bad knee injury. In week 14, very famously, these two teams played at Arrowhead, and the Bills won in Arrowhead 20-17, but it was the Kadarius Toney game. The Bills should have lost that game because Toney obviously was offsides, most famous offsides in history, on a play where he happened to catch a lateral from Travis Kelce to score what would have been the game-winning touchdown if he wasn't offside before that. So with all of that in the background, the Chiefs at the moment are only a 2.5-point underdog at the Bills. I think that was 3 most of the week, and now some money has been going out to the Chiefs, which is not surprising because it's the Chiefs and it's Patrick Mahomes, and they actually had the offense look like the old Chiefs offense a little bit in the elements last week against the Miami Dolphins. Now, the Bills are not the Miami Dolphins, and you got to go to Buffalo, and that might make all the difference there. My off-the-beaten-path stats, KC allowed only 300 first downs on defense. That's very low. Only the Jets and Browns allow less actual first downs on defense. Everyone's talking about the Chiefs, but they talk about this might be the best defense that Mahomes has ever had for on the other side of the ball, and I think there's something to that. But on the other side, for Buffalo, who needs the tush push? Buffalo led the league in first downs rushing with 158 rushing first downs. And not surprisingly, 57 of them went to the quarterback project because that's what he does. He loves to run. He loves to get his blood pumping. And that's how he becomes that Superman. That's what he does. He puts on that cape. But the Bills should kiss Kadarius Toney's feet as soon as he gets off the plane. Because it was his brain fart lining up all sides. That means that this is why this game is in Orchard Park instead of Arrowhead, because that's the one game difference. That if the Chiefs would have won that, this game would once again be in Kansas City. It seems like Buffalo always has to play in Kansas City in the playoffs. But finally, for the first time, the Chiefs have to come to Buffalo. Now, the defense is hurt and depleted. We understand that. And KC looked damn good against Miami. Patrick Mahomes did what he should, which is focus on getting Kelce and Rashee Rice the ball and nobody else. But it still might not be enough because the Bills actually now have more weapons with the emergence of Khalif Shakir and the rookie tight end Dalton Kincaid. Kick returner Deontay Hardy caught a bomb last week. Like, we know at some point the broken Chiefs offense and Patrick Mahomes with that Rodney Dangerfield look, we know at some point it's going to cost them. We know it's going to get them beat. No one's really taking the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl this year. And in this environment versus their hated rivals, first time they ever have to go there in the playoffs, in Pat's first road playoff game ever, I'm going to give it to the team that's been in playoff mode for 2 months, and that's the Buffalo Bills. That's what they've been doing. They know they've been on sort of sudden death for 2 months, and they're used to this. They're comfortable in that. So I'm going to give it to the Buffalo. I'm going to give it to my world championship pick from the preseason, and I'm going to take the Bills to win a very close one, 24-20.
After you crapped on them not to even make the playoffs at the end there. But you got me a win on that one. But, hey, I'm taking the Chiefs for one simple reason, because if you want to be the man, you've got to beat the man. And that's where the Bills are right now, right? The Bills are in that spot right now. And I can see, for all the climbing and all the clawing and everything they did to get back to this spot, we finally got Patrick Mahomes in our building, and shit the bed. I can totally see that. That would be – that's so Bills, wouldn't it be, to go into that spot?
I don't have a that's so Bills drop.
Yeah, we don't have a that's so Bills drop, but that would be so Bills. So despite – hey, I'm Hipster J. Nobody was on the Bills before I was. I want the Bills to win this game. Again, my heart's telling me, please, Bills, end this. I don't want to see you-know-who anymore. let this thing be over. But I don't think it's going to end that way. I think the Chiefs are going to be one of these games, and that's why my X factor is Sean Hockley, baby. I'm going conspiracy theory. They need the Chiefs to win this game. I'm going ref shenanigans. Chiefs win.
Oh my goodness! You're aiming right for first and Negro with that. You're trying to get on the Monday morning TV shows. I see what you're trying to do there. Trying to abandon me and get on those conspiracy shows. No, I'm not going referee. I'm going Dane Jackson, Buffalo Bills cornerback, 2 INTs last year. Someone's got to D up those KC bad wide receivers. You can't let somebody you can't let Justin Watson get a random 40-yard catch downfield. You got to find a way to shut down those other guys and make it where it's just only Kelce and Rice. And I think the Bills will do that. More on our after show when we come back. Now into our VIP after show program, where we discuss more football.
We didn't give an award to it, and we didn't talk about it, so I want to bring this up in the after show, because I had it on my award list for most of the week, and then I finally let it off, because I just didn't know where to put it, was the whole controversy over the Josh Allen, quote-unquote, fake slide.
Oh, my goodness. That was such a small fake slide. Like, if you think that's a fake slide, come on.
It wasn't a fake slide. I'll tell you exactly what it was right now. It was a white boy juke.
Correct. That's
it
exactly
was just
it was.
Such a awkward move, because he's a big, lanky white guy, that he put a juke on the guy and it just looked off. It didn't even look like he was starting a slide. It looked like he stopped.
Yeah, almost fell there.
Like, yeah, like his momentum just was like that. It worked so well on the defender, but then of course Pittsburgh must have clearly thought he was going to slide, because later on he did slide and just got a whole face full of defender and gets the flag for it. So I remember after I saw that play, when I saw that highlight, I saw that, because I was at work, and I saw that play popped up on my highlights and on Twitter right after it happened. So I saw it, and I even thought, he's going to eat one later. Because at first, when I saw it on the TV, I thought it was a fake slide. But then after seeing the different angles and stuff, I'm like, no, it was just a white boy juke.
No, I'm with you. I saw it, you know, live when it first happened, and I did not think it was a fake slide. I thought it was basically a juke or some, you know, trying to get out of the way of somebody they thought was coming for them, and it was effective. But no, fake slide, I never at any point thought that was a fake slide. And I didn't know there was a controversy behind it, because I really didn't, you know, the shows that I was, while I was snowed in and staying in the house the entire week, because I did not leave the house because of the weather down here. But I was doing a lot of ESPN, because I don't watch FS1 because I can't stand any of those shows at all. I didn't hear that get brought up as a controversy. They were too busy talking about Mike McCarthy and Nick Sirianni.
It was a minor thing, but I wanted to, that's why I didn't have an award for it. So it was sort of like it fell into that, you know, next tier of, maybe just bring it up, but did you see that kind of things? So clearly you saw it, but I did think it was funny that, you know, later on in the game, he just goes into a full slide, and then the Steelers defender just spears him right in the face.
I'm with you. I thought that was, there was going to be some get back as well later on. So,
boy, howdy.
We were all over that. But I didn't think it was because of a fake slide situation. I just thought it was because he was doing his Superman thing and doing what Project does. And
hell of a touchdown run.
Sure. Yeah. Hell yeah. But he can be infuriating to play against, because it's like, come on, dude. He's so grindy and physical and looking for contact. Like, you're not used to a quarterback that sits back there and carves you up, and then every now and then just decides to take off and try to knock your own head off. It's like, what are you doing?
Or it can take it 52 yards to the house.
Right. So,
and
at some
surprisingly,
point, you want to knock his block off.
Right. A surprisingly clean game from Allen. He didn't have any of the Yaha balls.
Right.
Even when Pittsburgh, that's when I was worried, was when Pittsburgh got that down to 7 in the fourth quarter. And I'm like, it's Yaha ball time now, isn't it? This would be the time when
sometimes
and
it is, and this time it was the Superman time. This is when he put on the cape. So that's what happens sometimes. He's so maddening, he's so infuriating to watch, but he's so good. This might be it. He might decide to turn it around and go all the way, because he's got that ability. He might actually.
I hope so. I like the Bills. I'm just not sure. I don't think the defense gets them all the way this year. They'll have to win shootouts, I think, to get there.
Right.
But, yeah, it's interesting because you went 24-20 on the score because these two have been playing lower-scoring games more lately, and defensive-type games. But that I just worry so much about that Bills defense just sort of falling apart. And if this was the Bills defense from week one, I'd feel a whole lot better about them in this spot. I don't know. I just got that. I've got that just bad image of we're going to be talking about some BS on Monday that happened in this game, just like the last one, you know, although that was not BS because that was legitimately offsides.
Man, they're not going to activate Kadarius Toney. They're not going to tempt fate with that. They're not going to whatever happens, it won't involve him. But trust me.
Yeah.
I think Andy Reid's learned his lesson there. Like I said, some guys are great athletes and got great, you put their numbers up, their heightened speed and all of that stuff. They can't play the game. They can't play the sport of football. And I think he's one of those guys that he can't play the game. He just can't do it. Yeah, I would be, I understand your fear of the Bills defense, breaking down at the wrong time and letting the Chiefs embarrass them, but this isn't the Chiefs that we're used to. That's what I'm afraid of is, you know, this isn't, you know, the Tyreek Hill Chiefs where just, you know, that Patrick Mahomes is going to eventually get his guys involved and that's going to open up the field for everybody else. This year, that Chiefs offense, it looks so disjointed and discombobulated. That's what I'm afraid of, is that at the very wrong moment, it's going to be somebody else that maybe pops a ball up in the air for an INT. You can't blame Kadarius Toney for this game.
Be MVS or...
Yeah, yeah.
There's going to be some goat, you know.
Mm-hmm. Miko Hardman takes a deep sweep and fumbles it.
It will be the good goat.
Yes.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be afraid of the football again.
Yeah!
Yeah!
They don't throw him the ball anymore. They learned that lesson, too. But I think it's still going to be entertaining. I think the low scoring that I'm predicting is more a function of those two guys play so hard when they get together. It's just they squeeze the ball a little too hard. Like you're going to see some balls get, you know, over somebody's head early on. That they're just so ramped up. They're so intense when they go against each other. It's the next great rivalry in the sport. One of those ESPN talk shows we're talking about, is it's a new Manning versus Brady, and I think it is. Yeah, there's no.
Yeah, because we're going to have this for a while.
They're battling over conference titles. This time it's over divisional round, but they're always right there in the playoffs. The biggest games of the regular season when they play against each other, and it's always, you know, the top of the quarterback position. They're the ones. They're the top of the charts, and I don't see any other duo challenging them anytime soon. Yeah, I think that's the Manning Brady for me.
Right, where it's the two sort of like top guys, because you've got all these other like the whole thing we learned this year is that there's a whole lot of like up and coming guys, but the, you know, Mahomes and Allen I think are going to be the ones that are going to be duking it out, you know, the most. You know, that doesn't mean they're going to meet in the playoffs every year, but they're going to meet in the playoffs a lot.
No, almost every year it feels like.
Yeah. So not the championship game this time.
Right.
You know, so we get to, it sounds like we've got one of these teams going to Baltimore next week.
It's going to be a very interesting weekend. We got the two in the middle that we agreed on, but then the two, first game and the last game, we're duking it out on the two AFC games.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we'll see. Can't put me away yet because that's just the way that the thing goes, or I could jump ahead, or what will most likely happen is we'll split them and
we'll go one and one.
We'll split them and take it to next week.
Right. Where then you'll have those, if I do stay ahead, you'll have the decisions of trying to figure out, do you want to go against me in conference finals, championship Sunday,
right.
or do you just want to stay status
quo and
push
it to the Super Bowl? Or, hey, I could jump ahead.
You could, and I have to make that decision.
Turn this whole thing on its head.
Yep. It'll be very very compelling. I like these games. I like these matchups because they're different, except for that last one, the main event. That's fine. That's the same. But those other matchups, they're fresh, they're new, they're different, and there's different ways that they could go. There's all sorts of different machinations that all three of those games could go.
And there's teams that we're still used to seeing in the playoffs, but these are different iterations of them. Like the Texans, we've seen the Texans in the playoffs, but this isn't the same Texans. It's just like with the Packers, right? It's not the same Packers team we got used to. This isn't Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams.
These are all new guys.
It's right. I mean, this is like both of these teams, both on the rise, coming on late, and making that big push. So I'm excited. I love this. This is my favorite round of the playoffs, even though Championship Sunday is maybe my favorite day. I like this more than Wild Card Weekend. I think the quality of football is better. Lou would probably agree. And a lot of times I think the Championship Sunday, I think that's more exciting than Super Bowl Sunday. The Super Bowl almost never lives up to the hype, where Championship Sunday to win your conference and go to the Super Bowl just always feels so much like more meaningful, but this round, this weekend is usually the best quality weekend of football because there's four games. I'm sure there'll be a dud or two among the four, but usually this is, you get those teams coming off the bye. It'll be a lot of fun.
I tell you what about last week with the game being moved from Sunday to Monday. Another point you were texting me about was, okay, watch this be a thing now where they make it a doubleheader Monday on Wild Card Weekend every weekend. And I don't think that's something that's going to happen because I think they want that Sunday afternoon rate. I think it'll be a much bigger number than a random Monday afternoon. So I didn't see the number for the Monday game, because all I saw was how the streaming game was the highest rated streaming anything of all time or whatever. So I don't know what the Monday game was, but I'm sure it wasn't anywhere near what it would be if it was being played on Sunday.
You're talking about
Bills
Steelers game, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'd be a lot more eyeballs on it if it was being played on Sunday. But I will say that sort of my OCD was – weirdly happy to see it get moved because now you had the two games Saturday, two games Sunday,
two
games Monday.
Yeah.
So that was much more enjoyable. I don't know if anyone else feels the way. It's not going to be permanent because that's a much worse rating on Monday. But it was better for me because now I didn't have that Sunday where you got the 12 o'clock, 3:30, 7 o'clock. Those three games, because by the time it gets to that third game, I'm like nodding off in my chair and about ready to go to bed. So I didn't have that wearing me out. Like those three games, as exciting as it is, by the time I get to that last one, I'm kind of pooped and footballed out a little bit.
Yeah.
And I didn't have that this year. I had the 2-2-2, and that was much more enjoyable for me personally. I don't know how you felt about that.
For me, I worked on Monday.
Okay.
So, Sunday of the 3 days was the one that I was off.
Right.
So Saturday I worked. I got to see – I mean, the first game I missed, the second game I got to see. Sunday I got to watch all the football. So I watched the Packer-Cowboys and then the Rams-Lions game. So that was probably the one that day I enjoyed the most.
Right.
And then by Monday I was at work – and I was actually working farther away than I usually work because I was covering for somebody at another place. So I was an hour and a half away. So I left my house at 8:30 in the morning, and I didn't get back in the home until 8:30 that night on Monday.
Wow.
So it was probably my worst experience because it was the day I saw the least football.
Okay.
So while on theory, it probably was nice that I just said you know, they're doing, it's all about the money. yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they had started that second game or first game a little later, because it would have been planned better, where you do like a 5 and an 8:30 or something like that. I could see that happening, like they do with the Monday night doubleheader early in the season. I wouldn't be shocked.
Okay. I would be surprised, but I can't rule anything out if it makes dollars, if it makes sense. And yeah, I didn't think about that people had to work. Some people had to work on Monday because I didn't. I was here, like I said, iced in the entire week, snowed and iced in. So I was able to be at home for all of those games. So if you get a weekend, another long weekend, and you have that situation again, that might be the deciding factor. If it's a holiday weekend, it's different. The rating will probably be close to as what it would be on Sunday if it's on a holiday. So they do it over King Holiday. They have Wildcard Weekend over King Holiday every year, which I don't know if that's going to be something they do every year. Then maybe you might see something like that happen. Yeah, I was, I'm not going to go on about it, but I just wanted to sort of share what happened and so you can get a chuckle out of this. The great luck of my wife and how charmed her life is since she decided that she wanted to be a travel agent. She had already planned going back somewhere last year. She already had it booked to leave town this past week and go to see a property in Cancun and spend 3 days in Cancun, Mexico, which is already a great idea to do in January. But then there was a snowstorm that they were telling us was coming. And by storm, I mean like 1 to 3 inches, which to you up there is not a storm at all. But here in Memphis, of course, threatens to shut the city down. But they were forecasting this for a good week. And they were forecasting it to start Sunday night into Monday morning. My wife's flight was scheduled to leave 5 whatever in the morning, Monday morning. And she actually got the bright idea, and I think somebody had mentioned it in one of her travel groups online, and it dawned on her, and she said, you know what, we've been getting this snow forecast Sunday night to Monday morning. I don't want to drive to the airport and that stuff. She thought maybe I would drive her to the airport and that stuff. I was like, okay, but I really didn't want to do it either, obviously. She made the decision on her own. You know what? I'm going to get some little cheap hotel, Hilton or Holiday Inn in Cancun Sunday night, and I'm flying down there Sunday. I'm not even going to bother waiting until Monday, waiting for the snow to come get me. She left out. She planned this and made that decision like Saturday while we were doing we weren't doing our show Saturday. While I was watching football Saturday, she decided to do this, and she comes into the room. Oh, by the way, I'm leaving, 3 o'clock in the morning, right now today, and I'm going to Mexico before the snow gets there. And I'm like, wow, that's, I didn't think of something like that, but that is absolutely a bright and brilliant thing to do. And sure enough, she drove out of here, 3 o'clock Sunday morning, 3:30. And that snow started to come Sunday afternoon about 1. It started, and it didn't stop until Tuesday. It wasn't blizzard. It wasn't heavy at all, but it was steady for 2 days here in Memphis, from Sunday at 1 in the afternoon to Tuesday. My car was covered. Everyone's car was covered in snow by the time Sunday evening rolled around. It was, the streets were covered. The sidewalk was covered. It would have been absolute torture to drive her to the airport Sunday, going through the streets of Memphis. I'm not talking about driving in 3 inches of snow up there where you are, where you guys are used to. I'm talking about in Memphis. It would have been absolute hell trying to get through these streets and get her to the airport. It would have been so much hell that she has, she's taking her trip and she's back. She came back last night. Our streets are, the snow stopped Tuesday. Our streets are still iced and snowed. Still. It's Saturday.
Wow. Well, so are
it's
ours.
Friday night going into Saturday.
You got a lot Saturday. More than that. Yeah.
You got a lot more than 3 or 4 yeah. inches or whatever we got. But yeah, great, brilliant decision by her to leave Sunday. She got an entire half a week in Mexico in the middle of January. I was literally snowed in the house. I did not leave. I had enough food. Thankfully, the heat stayed on. The water stayed running. But I didn't leave the house at all the entire time. Did not go to work. Was ready to try to get out there yesterday and brave the elements. And the boss actually texted and said, we're not coming in. The streets are just too messed up. But it's so funny. The streets are still messed up. Again, it stopped snowing Tuesday. And this is Friday night going into Saturday. Our streets are still messed up. I'm still sliding around out there just now. I finally left the house today to get something to eat because I've been completely cut off from the outside world ever since last Sunday. And I'm sliding around out there and then slid back into the house. And the alley is completely messed up and iced up. But it's just funny to think that, you know, you already got the foresight to schedule a trip to go to Mexico in the middle of January. And then you see the reports coming of the snow right when you're about to go to the airport. And you're like, you know what? I'm not going to the airport then. I'm going the day before. And it worked out perfectly for her. So that was just brilliant on her part.
Well, you should have given her smartest of the week.
She was. My wife was absolutely smartest of the week. She doesn't play football, so she wasn't eligible for the award.
We can give it to whatever we want.
Yeah, that's true. It's our show. Give it to whatever we want, dude. You're right.
Exactly right. So, well, I'm going to tap out. I got to work tomorrow, so I got to be up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And it's going to be a late night tomorrow because we got a late game. This is actually the latest I've been up in probably since the last show. I told you I was dealing with this thing in my shoulder, and I can't sleep for anything lately, so at least my only reprieve tonight was me telling my wife, like, you know, coming to bed late might help because at least I'm not going to wake up at 3:30 in the morning now or 4 o'clock in the morning. Maybe I can actually just get my solid sleep and wake up when the alarm goes off instead of waking up at 3:30 and tossing and turning and just getting out of bed.
Yeah, maybe that will help. Do you take anything to help you sleep, or you don't want to go down that road?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Yes.
All right. So,
nothing illegal or anything like that, but yes.
Maybe that's the key. Maybe get some grass.
I need some illicit goods.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. This is some good stuff. All right. We are definitely looking forward to divisional round action. Like we said, our favorite weekend of football, the highest quality of football usually comes in that weekend. And we got two games to look forward to that we're head-to-head to start the weekend and to end it.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Yep. Can't wait.
Can't wait.
That's right.
Can't wait.
We haven't heard from Bart in a while.
Bart's always ready. He's just sitting there waiting for us to use him. All right. For Jay, I am Dre. This has been, in much less detail, the podcast, the 2.5-hour football party in full effect tonight. Hopefully everyone enjoyed us, despite my voice trying to go out again, but it did bounce back, so that's good. And we will look forward to next weekend. Are we doing Saturday night, or are we good? You said you were afraid to try Sunday morning because we never know if this site is going to hold up.
You know, I'm okay with Sunday on Super Bowl Sunday. I mean, you know, I'm okay with that. But I think for championship round, yeah, let's do Saturday night.
All right, no problem with that.
Because then we got 2 weeks. Then we got honors and dishonors.
Mm-hmm. That'll be in between the Championship Sunday and the Super Duper Bowl. So we'll be handing out our hardware for the year, our honors and dishonors. We will go for Saturday night, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Looking forward to seeing who's going to be left standing for those two conference title games. There's always some surprises in the divisional weekend. We think we got it all figured out, but you just watch one of those teams that we got locked up as favorites. Watch one of them find a way to spit the bid and take the L. Just have no idea which one. But that's what we do. We watch the sports and we enjoy them. We see how everything shakes out. All right. We will talk to you next Saturday night to get ready for the conference finals in the NFL. Everybody enjoy your weekend of football and invest wisely, whatever you invest in. And we'll talk to you Saturday night.